chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the Bama Online Podcast. Travis Ryer, Senior Analyst for BOL, with you, joined by Charlie Potter, staff reporter, beat reporter extraordinaire for us there at BamaOnline.com. When it comes to the Alabama Crimson Tide, we are moving through the midweek now as we approach the opening weekend of Southeastern Conference football action for the 2020 season. And Charlie, it almost feels like maybe I shouldn't talk about it. It's almost like we might jinx a no-hitter or something at this point as it gets closer. Maybe we shouldn't talk about the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, let's discuss something completely different. it does, though. It feels like it's getting realer and realer. You get the depth chart on Monday. You get the usual game week interviews that we've had so far. Of course, we're not out there at practice, but you see them go through practice. You see some scout team numbers out there on the field and things like that. And it becomes realer and realer that there's going to be a football game this weekend. And that's exciting because, I mean, there were points in this offseason, I think you and I and a lot of other people didn't know if this was going to happen. And if Missouri can have enough healthy players, it sounds like it's going to go off without a hitch.
Yeah, we heard from Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach, first-year head coach of the Missouri Tigers, on Tuesday in the early afternoon hours, and that was on the heels of Drinkwitz a week ago saying that as many as 12 at the time Missouri players were going to be out for the season opener. Now, Drinkwitz seemed to kind of change that number on Tuesday. I'm awful at math, Charlie. He kind of got into some algebraic stuff. You are the math whiz of the Bama Online staff. There's no one that debates that, even tries to argue it. Do we know exactly what all I really took from it was Drinkwitz said they would have 69 scholarship players available. I guess that's all we need to know, right?
It was a little confusing, and you know, he said they have 7 out this week with COVID or for COVID-related reasons. They have 2 more tests to go. Last week, yeah, they said they were going to be without 12, but there was an issue with their testing. So they, you know, after they retested some players after you know, that whole debacle or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, he did say they expect to have 69 players available for the Alabama game. And that's with taking into account Missouri doesn't have a full 85 scholarship player roster because of sanctions they've had to deal with lately. I think they have 81. So they were already shorthanded a bit. But you know, that's good news. I mean, you were thinking they were going to be without 12. Then maybe after additional testing, that number goes up. It actually went down. So, again, you know, it feels like that's another step in the right direction for this game to happen. Of course, you know, I have a credential and I'm going to be going to the game. So hopefully that the realization and the confirmation of the game comes a lot sooner than that before you get out there. But it's, again, it's another step in the right direction for a season. But, you know, it was a little confusing. As far as math goes, I mean, you can go back to the last time we talked to Nick Saban in person back in February, and he'll let you know right now that I'm not that great at math. I think he pointed that out pretty clearly. And it's funny. It's all full circle here because that was on National Signing Day in February, and Alabama signed 3 players that day. They had signed 22 in the early period. I know I'm getting off a tangent here, but it all comes full circle.
Rock and roll with it. Go with it.
They signed 22 players in the early signing period in December. They signed 3 more in February, but they had 2 guys that were, I think they were expecting to get a defensive lineman. Ended up going to Texas A&M, and then Enos Rakestraw, who ended up going to Missouri. Well, Missouri on Tuesday released its depth chart, and Enos Rakestraw is listed as a starter at their cornerback position. So I asked him really basically if they were expecting that day to be a little busier than it was. Of course, he took that the wrong way and then shamed my math skills. And that leads us to today, a Wednesday leading up to the season opener. Here we are.
Yeah, and Drinkwitz says that it's actually seven now, but they have 81 scholarship players. They're only going to have 69 available. That's back to 12, as best I can tell. I'm going to stop with that. I'm just going to stop with that.
He did start rolling off a lot of injuries too, so it sounds like they got guys doing some non-COVID things. You know, that's a complete different discussion because it sounds like they've been hit by the injury bug pretty bad. So add in about five guys there, and it gets you to that nice number 69.
See, and that's nice, exactly. I just didn't want to get into the math, and I knew it wouldn't end well for me. What we are going to do today on the podcast is we're going to play our favorite game of fill in the blank. We've got some scenarios that we're going to consider, both where the depth chart is concerned and for Saturday night at Faurot Field there in Columbia, Missouri, the Alabama Crimson Tide up to a 27-point favorite now on the road to open the 2020 season. Let's go ahead and get into some fill-in-the-blank action here, Charlie. Get you going with this one. The biggest surprise on the initial depth chart released by UA was blank.
You know, we talked about it all preseason. If anybody's been on our message board and read our nuggets from practice and scrimmages, they've heard about Will Anderson, but it still came as a bit of a surprise to see him as the lone starter at Jack linebacker. You know, Christopher Allen and Ben Davis were guys that were really leading that position group at the Sam and Jack positions all preseason long. And I think no one was really doubting that guys like Will Anderson and Drew Sanders, the two talented true freshmen, were going to see the field. But Will Anderson went and locked himself up a starting gig before the season even kicks off. And I don't know that a day went by when Alabama was on the practice field that I didn't hear buzz about Will Anderson, but it's still just to see it on, not paper because we weren't there in person, but the depth chart Alabama released via email, it still was a bit of a surprise. I mean, there were, you know, some other things you raised your eyebrows about a little bit, maybe a three-player tie at punter, even though we heard there's a healthy competition there. But just to see him lock that position down, because we haven't seen a true freshman start at the outside linebacker position since Nick Saban's been the head coach. It's been years, decades maybe even, before we've seen a true freshman do that at Alabama. So for him to do that and kind of live up to the hype that's been building throughout the preseason at the tail end of the recruiting process, you know, it's still a bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah, I'll go on defense too. I'll go Malachi Moore, I guess, slash Brian Branch there at the star position. We have seen that before, as recent, I guess, as to start a season anyway with Minka Fitzpatrick. But just in terms of maybe what my expectations were, perhaps specifically for Moore, to see him in that spot, given even with the attrition and the need that presented itself back there, I don't think I would have had Malachi Moore 6 months ago as being that guy first up at the star position. And you know, you also consider that, you know, a couple of guys that were in that mix, they weren't early enrollees to begin with. So similar again to Minka Fitzpatrick, summer enrollees came in later and still able to get themselves in position to significantly contribute there on the back end of that Alabama defense. Charlie, next up. He wasn't a starter on the depth chart, but blank has a good chance to be a starter at some point during the season. Who's that guy?
This is actually kind of hard because when you look at it, I mean, just trying to predict the depth chart earlier this weekend, it was pretty much chalk, you know, for what we predicted. Of course, you know, you had Ben Davis and Chris Allen, an outside linebacker, but for a guy that was listed as a backup, that I think is going to have a tremendous impact on this defense is DeMarco Hellams at safety. I think Jordan Battle and Daniel Wright have been very consistent at the free and strong safety spots, and I think those are going to be your starters. But DeMarco Hellams is a guy that can come in at money in the dime position, but he could also, you know, maybe beat out one of those guys. I'd probably side with Daniel Wright just because Jordan Battle's kind of been groomed to be that guy since last season, rooming with Xavier McKinney as a true freshman. But I think DeMarco Hellams is a talented player, one that has shown a lot of promise He got on the field a lot last year as a true freshman. So, yeah, this one was tough, but just looking at the guys that are listed as backups, Helms was a guy that stood out to me that it can have a tremendous impact on this team this fall.
Yeah, safety would be an area I would certainly look. Those are some spots in the secondary in general that I think you could consider. I'm not sure that the one corner spot might not end up being up for grabs. We saw Josh Jobe with the opportunity a year ago, wasn't able to quite make good on it. Perhaps he's going to slam that door this time around. How about I give you Joseph Bulovas as a kicker? How about that? I know, right? Is this the point where we're losing listeners? look, it hasn't gone swimmingly at times for Joseph Bulovas, but how can you count anybody out, really, when it comes to the place-kicking job? Now, look, if Will Reichard stays healthy, the assumption is that he's going to be the guy. I think Bulovas could still end up being that guy on kickoffs, but I'm just going to throw Joseph Bulovas out there. It seems like he's the guy that the last couple of years, you tried to write him off in 2018. He ends up being the guy down the stretch of that season, and then because of the injury to Reichard a year ago, he's in there again. So I'm not ready to write off Joey 3 points just yet. Here we go, Charlie. Alabama's first touchdown of the 2020 season will come from blank.
I wanted to go Najee Harris here, and I think that could be a realistic option. But I went with Mac Jones to Devontae Smith. And I look back at Mac's 4 starts last year, and the first touchdown of 3 of those games were passing touchdowns. And now he split them all up between Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs III, and Smitty. But with Devontae stepping into that number one receiver role this fall, I just think that I would – side that way. I see them hitting a big play early, and I mentioned a little bit ago, Missouri's going to be starting at least one true freshman at the cornerback spot. You don't think if Devontae's lined up on a true freshman, maybe like at the 35-yard line, they don't take a shot toward the end zone. I think that's a realistic possibility, and I just think with looking at how they've kind of started games with Mac Jones, trying to get him comfortable and in a groove, I think they'll try to throw the ball early, and I'll go with Mac to Smitty to open the season.
Makes a lot of sense. In fact, I'm with you in terms of anticipating Alabama taking some shots early in the game, maybe similar to what we saw against Michigan in the Citrus Bowl, because even with the documentation, the film of Mac and those receivers having some success with each other, the focus is still going to be on Najee. And first and foremost, trying to take him out of the game as much as possible early. So, yeah, I think play action off of that early, you're going to see a shot or two for Mac to those wide receivers. I'm going to go outside the box a little bit, although his history tells us that when he does catch passes, the ratio is tilted pretty good towards touchdowns. I'll go Miller Forstall, sort of a red zone sort of setup and an extension, really, of what we saw with Mac and Miller in the bowl game when they connected for a touchdown there in the second half of that win over the Wolverines. I'll go Miller Forstall with a touchdown grab from Mac Jones. How about that? Neither one of us went with Najee Harris, a guy only had 20 total touchdowns last year. And we go away from the bell cow of that backfield. Going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, 3 more fill-in-the-blank scenarios when the Bama Online podcast returns right after this.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Back with more of the Bama Online podcast. Travis Schreier, senior analyst for BOL, joined by Team Beat reporter Charlie Potter as we fill in some blanks at the midway point of game week 2020. The Alabama Crimson Tide preparing for the trip to Columbia, Missouri, where it will take on the Tigers on Saturday night. That is an ESPN affair at 6:30 Central. So, Charlie, here we go. The second half of our fill-in-the-blank questions for us on this podcast. Blank is the one player who has the most to prove against Missouri. From the Alabama perspective, Blank is the one player who has the most to prove in the season opener.
I think a lot of players could really fit this, but I'll go with Mac Jones. I think that he has the trust of the coaching staff, of his teammates. They had confidence in him last year, but all off season long, just as someone that moderates a message board, everyone's been looking forward to seeing Bryce Young, and they think that he's the future of the position, and they want to see him on the field. And I get that. I mean, he's the number one player in the country, and I think that everybody just remembers what Mac did in the Auburn game by throwing a couple of pick sixes, and that's what their lasting memory is of him last year. I think Mac played pretty well in the games that he started in place of Tua, and he's obviously worked really hard this offseason, whether it's back home with his longtime trainer and quarterback coach Joe Dickinson, and what he's done to get ready for this. And he's a guy that a lot of people like. He's someone that's easy to follow. The issue this year isn't of winning over the team. Mac Jones has done that. But you have a talented player in Bryce Young who is playing catch up with no spring ball and no first scrimmage, that is immensely talented, and I think they're going to want to get experience. So I think Mac needs to go out there and just play cool, calm, and collected, and play his game. But from a fan base perspective, and really just proving it to his teammates and coaching staff as well, just be consistent and be able to march the team up and down the field because they have the weapons around him. So, I could have gone a lot of places with this, whether it's the Sam linebacker position. I think Chris Allen and Ben Davis have a lot to prove. Dylan Moses, he's coming back from an injury. He has a lot to prove as a guy that could potentially be a first-round draft pick. But I think it starts with the quarterback position for me. And I think Mac's capable, but I think he just, he has to show a lot of people that, just so they kind of forget about Bryce Young a little bit.
I'm going to go with Dylan Moses, and because he is coming off an injury. It's been 20 months, basically, since we saw Dylan Moses in game action. I mean, that Clemson game in Santa Clara, January 2018. Now, look, okay, A-Day. 2019, actually. Then he goes down in fall camp a year ago in August. And it's not just the injury either. He is still assuming an entirely different role. Now, it's still inside linebacker, but he's going to be the play caller. He's going to be the Mike linebacker. He's going to be the Mac, I would think, in the dime package. So even the physical aspect of what he's going to be doing is going to change a little bit. So I'll go Dylan Moses. I will say this, and I think this matchup is going to be great in terms of telling us exactly where Dylan's at physically, because Tyler Beatty and Larry Roundtree III, these are two really nice running backs for the Missouri Tigers. And with the transitioning quarterback situation, Elijah Drinkwitz is probably going to lean on those guys a pretty good bit. I think we're going to find out a lot about exactly where Dylan Moses is. I think Dylan just being there is going to help Christian Harris by extension. But I'll go with Dylan Moses there with the pick. Blank, Charlie, speaking of linebackers, I think, Blank will be Alabama's leading tackler in the game against Missouri.
Yeah, I have to go with Dylan here. Like you said, it's been a long time coming for him to get back on the field. We heard from him earlier this week. We heard from him in the preseason. He's 100% healthy. I think he's comfortable with that knee. And I think he's ready to inflict some pain. He's been waiting a long time. And like you said, I think his presence on the field and his ability to call the defense does help a guy like Christian Harris. It helps the guys up front on the defensive line and the guys getting after the quarterback. But I just expect 32 to be all over the field. And with you're ushering in a couple of young safeties, you don't have an Xavier McKinney back there, and I think that he's going to be the Mac and the dime package. I just think that the Dylan, he's going to be everywhere and just rack up a ton of tackles. I could see maybe a Christian Harris or maybe even a Jordan Battle or Daniel Wright, but it's hard for me to go against Dylan Moses.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Christian Harris. I think you're right. I think we're on it with Dylan in terms of him being the every down guy. But I think Christian Harris has that chance to be Dylan Moses from 2 years ago, when Dylan actually led Alabama in tackles while Mack Wilson handled the Mike linebacker positions. I think Dylan is, even in 10 regular season games, likely to average more tackles per game in 2020 than Mack did in 2018. But I'll go with the other inside backer in Christian Harris there. All right, as we wrap up these fill-in-the-blank scenarios for the upcoming weekend with Charlie Potter. Charlie, UA game captains at Missouri for this Saturday. And this one gets a little bit interesting because I don't know what captain protocol is going to be for the SEC. Are they going to allow three captains at midfield? Or are they going to allow just one? I guess either way, Alabama will probably stick with the status quo and have three guys designated. In that scenario, UA game captains at Missouri will be blank, blank, and blank.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine they'll just have one guy go out to midfield for the coin toss. And but when they come out on the field, there's always three players that lead them through Bama Jacks and their warm-ups and everything like that. So for me, I have to go with Devontae Smith because he's a returning captain from last year's team. You don't see that very often. I just think that he's going to be out there, if not every week, a lot of them, because they like to mix it up and give other guys opportunities. But then I'll go with Dylan Moses as the second one. He's the leader of the defense. I don't think anybody's questioning that. And I had a toss-up. I'm going with an offensive lineman, and I think it's either going to be Alex Leatherwood or Landon Dickerson. I might side with Landon Dickerson just because he's more of a vocal guy. I think one that really brings that juice to that offensive line group. So for me, I'll go with Smitty, Moses, and Dickerson as my three captains.
Those three or four certainly make the most sense, don't they? I guess maybe a guy like LeBryan Ray, you know, you could potentially factor in there. But yeah, I think I'm going to stick with your picks as well. You know, there's a lot of returning experience, you know, but that doesn't mean that there's kind of a ton of guys. You know, Miller Forrestall is one of those kind of guys too. So you talk about the leadership council, right, and things like that for this team. I guess that's where you really try to draw from as much as anything.
Yeah, Miller, I thought about just because, you know, you can see some guys leading Bama Jacks during practice whenever they show flex and stuff like that. And Miller's been out there. I think a guy like Patrick Surtain II, if you're looking for another defensive player, he's kind of coming into his own as a leader. Najee Harris, I mean, he's not that vocal, but he's going to be a big part of this team. And he's really been vocal in areas you haven't expected from him really this offseason. And maybe even Mac Jones, you know, at the quarterback spot. So there's a bunch of different ways you could go about this. But, you know, if you're looking at guys that can be captains, not only now, but when the season's over and they have their awards banquet in Birmingham, I think Smitty and Dylan Moses are slam dunks. And I expect at least one offensive lineman to be up there in that group. And with the way that Landon Dickerson's really carried himself since he stepped on campus, it wouldn't be a shock for me to see him in that role at the end of the year.
And once again, specialist on this podcast, just don't get enough love. Thomas Fletcher, long snapper. Got to put him in that mix as well. Now, Charlie, you're headed out to Columbia, Missouri. You're going to be out there for us on Saturday. You're going to want to tune in to that coverage, certainly on the roundtable, as Charlie's going to be at pregame. And that's going to be as newsy, perhaps, as anything we've been able to glean here in the last 6 or 7 months, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to be on my P's and Q's because we haven't been out at a single practice. You know, I appreciate the footage that UA has put out there, but, you know, they can dictate what we see. And to see how guys – I mean, we got the depth chart, but to see how guys are warming up, what guys made the trip, you know, who's healthy, everything like that, it's going to be one of the most important pregame warmups that I've ever covered, really. And you know, at that point, you'll see, you know, if it's actually even worth going to road games, because the interviews are going to be done via Zoom after the game, so you could do it from home. You know, Alabama travels to Arkansas at the end of the year. Is it going to be worth making the trip up to Fayetteville? you know, for just a little bit of viewing. We'll see what it's like, but I think this is going to tell us a lot about not only how we cover road games in the future, but a lot about this team heading into his first game of the season.
Again, you'll definitely want to keep it locked to BamaOnline.com. Charlie, as always, does an outstanding job for us. We'll have you covered wall to wall with coverage, of course, throughout the week. Charlie, safe travels, my friend. Look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. It's been a long time coming, like we talked about in the opener, but it's finally here. Fingers crossed it goes off without a hitch.
There you go. For Charlie Potter, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us here on the Bama Online Podcast. Thank you for keeping it right there at BamaOnline.com as well, the roundtable, the premium message board of choice for Alabama Crimson Tide fans everywhere. Talk to you again on the podcast real soon.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.